Hi, I'm Teiko.
And I'm Gabrielle. And we are the Baileys. Join us as we talk about staying in love while raising kids,
building a business, and going where Jesus sends us.
Honey, we are back with part two.
Yep.
We started this conversation last week about gender roles and expectations, and we're just continuing the next part.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to the first part where we talked about gender roles and just how that's been changing in the world today, go back and listen to that episode. That was episode 10. This is episode 11. And we are here with you guys again.
Go check it out.
Yeah. So starting off, Teiko or honey, because I don't really call you Teiko all the time. Do you have any unmet expectations?
Huh.
You know, I remember when we just had Kalino and it was, do you remember that funky season? I call it funky season. There was a part where it was just like, and you know, part of it could have just been the lack of sleep too.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't at each other's throats, but we were close.
Hmm.
Do you remember that? And then we had to get that couple involved. They were like, oh, can you help us?
Okay, yeah. I don't even remember what it was about, though.
Right. Well, part of it was that, you know, we had this baby. It was our first one. You know, part of it was waking up in the night. Who's supposed to wake up in the night and pick him up? Who was supposed to do this part, diaper change, all of these things.
Yeah.
And I think just with different things that I've heard and read, those expectations or certain expectations were in my mind that probably weren't, I guess, reasonable for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the things that I was expecting of you, they weren't reasonable for us. And part of it was that both of us were sleep deprived at the time.
Oh my gosh.
We needed to take a break. We needed to sleep. And then we needed to just think this thing through and come back again. And it was very helpful to have, you know, a third party, objective party to help us work through what those unspoken or unmet expectations were.
Third party that was experienced.
Yep. So yeah, expectations in marriage. How do you handle that? How do you maneuver those sorts of things?
The tricky thing with expectations is that you don't think you have any until something new comes up.
Or you don't know what your expectations are until they aren't doing it.
Exactly.
And you're like, why aren't you doing this?
Exactly.
So I think that's part of it. And you do have to catch yourself very quickly to know what those expectations are and go, oh, I'm kind of expecting this from you.
Yeah. Or not even just, catch yourself, but also finding a good way to communicate it. Yeah, because
One of the things I learned, I don't know if it was in year three or year four, was, and I think I shared this with you too, where in my mind I expected that there were certain things that you would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I was seeing them ahead of time, and I could recognize, like when we did the family values, I was seeing ahead of time, like, oh, we needed to get this thing vaguely done. We needed to write up what those family values were, have some sort of pillars for our family. Mm-hmm. At the time, you didn't necessarily have the space in your schedule to actually do that, to take the time to sit and think this through.
Yeah.
And I could do it. And I recognized that not because you were the head of the house meant that you had to do everything.
Yeah.
And I knew that, but you know what I mean?
But you still expected it.
Right. I don't know if it was that I expected it, but, or if I expected that you would be the one to lead on something. And it was just learning that me leading out with something wasn't, in a sense, going ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really coming alongside to help
supporting.
You. Right. Yeah. And you think you'd know that, but it took a while just for that whole thought process to click in my brain.
I think it all depends on how you frame it.
Right. Right. I think if you're thinking about it as like, okay, I'm going to take over, then you probably won't come alongside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think just using a different scenario, I think, you know, like, depending on how traditional your family is, where you can say like, oh, the man deals with the finances, but the woman might actually be
a whole lot better
person
at
dealing with the finances.
Right.
But because sometimes we follow various traditional roles and responsibilities based on our background, it's so stuck in your head, like, oh no, if I do this, I'm gonna mess this up.
Right.
While the truth is, like, women are so good at so many things, or better at it than men are. I think a lot of times it doesn't necessarily mean the man has to do something to lead in that area. Because it can be a conversation where, okay, fine, let's say you're doing the finances, you can check back with me and be like, okay, honey, does this look good?
Right.
You know, getting
right.
that sort of agreement, getting that sort of support. And there's a good way of doing these kind of things.
That you two work together.
You know,
but
co-leading, right. so to speak.
And the big thing that affects most, and I'm recognizing this a lot more, especially with going through LoveWorks and even talking about these things here on the podcast, I recognize that a lot really does come down to communicating properly in marriage. Because sometimes we know these things, but we aren't saying them clearly. And we aren't having business type conversations between each other where, in a sense, our emotions aren't involved.
Yeah.
When every conversation that's taking place is, you know what I mean? Involving all of our emotions, that we can't have business type conversations with each other to say, okay, this is going to be more effective for us and nobody's going to get hurt.
Saying
that.
And I would say both. I would say business type conversations and also giving each other the space to say when you are hurt by what the other person said.
Right.
By what your spouse said. Because I think sometimes men can become very domineering is maybe not the right word. Men can be, it's not protective, you know, we can push you aside on something. There's a word to better communicate this, but I'll just explain it. We can push you aside on a matter or on a topic because we know we can.
Right.
Like, we know we have that unspoken authority.
Right.
To let you know that I'm in charge, so to speak. And it could be coming from a place of hurt, you know? It's not from a place of he doesn't want you to do this, or he doesn't want you to help in that way, or to help lead in that way. But it could be from something that happened before and the guy is hurt. And because he's hurt, he doesn't make room for the thing.
Whose responsibility is it now to identify that hurt? Is he the one that's supposed to come communicate?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's his responsibility to communicate that he's hurt.
Because we can't read minds.
No, what I preface the conversation with is saying, creating room for each other to communicate.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with you. I'm just saying that couples need to remember that you can't read each other's minds.
No, you can't.
And there has to be that sort of communication where things can be clear.
Yes.
Where we can come back and say, you hurt my feelings.
Yes.
And yes, you might be shocked or offended that the next person is saying that you hurt their feelings, but they're saying something that is valid. How mm-hmm. can you listen to their what they're saying
mm-hmm.
and not take offense to it and try to heal that wound so mm-hmm. you can move on? Because the way we respond to those sort of statements does set a precedence for the ones that come after.
That is true. That is true. I would just say there's a right way and a wrong way to communicate something.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be mindful. Once you're mindful, I think you would be aware.
Right. Definitely, yeah. I'd say right way and a wrong way to communicate some things. There's a right time and a wrong time
mm-hmm.
to communicate some things. And I think it does take trial and error to find out what that sweet spot is for mm-hmm. you guys.
Mm-hmm.
To find out when's the right time,
yeah.
when's the wrong time. You definitely don't want to start something right as you're going to bed. It's just wrong time. You know, there's certain times you just don't want to bring up a certain thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as we're talking about expectation, their marriagetoday.com says a wife's expectations in marriage.
Oh, I actually found that same article about a husband's expectation in marriage.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I guess we'll read.
All right, well, let me share too from what the women are saying.
Mm-hmm.
A wife needs her husband to stand by her side, protect her, and honor her through thick and thin.
Mm.
You hear that, guys? Don't be... Yeah.
Don't be
a jerk.
Oh my. Oh my
Support
word.
Your woman.
I like the part that says stand by her side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, a wife needs her husband to share his heart and be her best listener.
Ooh, and that is such a hard
that
thing.
That can be very difficult.
Isn't it such a hard thing?
Oh my gosh, that part might
heart.
Take a little working on.
I feel like I'm married to you for so long and I still have to ask you what's on your mind. Does it ever change?
I don't know if that will ever... I don't know if that will ever...
Change?
Like, no. I don't want to say change. I want to say I don't know if that will ever like... get to a place where you're gonna know everything that's on my mind and everything that's on my
maybe
heart.
Eventually I just give up asking.
That's maybe like
we should find out what older couples think about this.
They just get to the place where it's like oh
forget about him, he's thinking just... about the game. Forget about
exactly,
him, he wants food.
And then one more thing, a wife needs her husband to always be honest and transparent with her in the most loving way possible.
Come on.
I'm still working on that, guys.
Speak it, marriagetoday.com. Speak it.
Brother.
Is there any more? Do they have any more there?
I kid you. Throw one more.
Mm-hmm.
A wife needs her husband to be her biggest fan and motivator. I'm definitely
like
in support of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As iron sharpens iron. So friends sharpen friends.
Oh, that's so good.
And you know, we are BFFs, honey.
We are BFFs. We sorted that out this year because I was just like, he better recognize.
As one of my friends says,
be feuds, best friends until
best
we
friends
die.
Until we die.
Oh my word. That one was just like a what?
Anyway. Okay, on the topic of the last one that I just shared,
mm-hmm.
a wife needs her husband to be her biggest fan and motivator.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to encourage you men to really do that for your wife. You know, if your wife has a goal in mind, help her achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, challenge her to better herself. Like, think about it. Like, if you invest the best in your wife, if you help her to accomplish her dreams and just really walk in her purpose and fulfill the things that God has created her to be. Like,
it just reflects
your
good
life
on you too.
It's just gonna be so much better. I think sometimes we don't do that as men because we think we're gonna lose something
Or they probably just don't see the importance
or
of it.
No, or even that just she's going to be better than you or be more successful. But it's just like, seriously, you're there to empower her, you know?
Isn't that scarcity mentality then?
That is scarcity mentality. If you
and
feel
that's
that
probably
way.
Like the worst place to have scarcity mentality it in
is,
your marriage. If I'm
but you know what? It's so real
be
and it exists. But guys, I just want to challenge you. You know, if you hear your wife saying something, she want to own a flower shop or she wants to be a bank manager or whatever dream she has, you know, just help her in whatever way you can to accomplish it, and just letting her know you support her dreams because it's only going to be a blessing to you.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, MarriageToday.com, I found the same article, but this one is talking about expectations that husbands have. So, here we go. The first one that they talk about is companionship. He wants you to be his best friend. See?
Whoa.
Exactly. You didn't say BFF. But it says that that's the first one. He wants you to be his best friend. He wants to have fun with you. He wants to explore with you, create new adventures with you. He doesn't want you to treat him like you're his mom.
So true.
So true, right? Then two is respect. A man's need for respect is a deep soul level need that's surprising to most women.
That's
a big one.
Big one.
Of course, this favorite one was going to be on the list. Sex. Ooh. Your husband most likely has a strong physical desire for frequent sex, but sex isn't just physical for him. It's more of connection.
Yep.
And domestic support. Okay, this one is, I can say, is so true. In the sense of, he's not. They're saying that your husband, men, definitely want to do their part in the home and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they expect their wives to take the lead in making the house into a home.
That's true.
In the sense that they recognize that you, wives, are the thermostat of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And you set the pace for the home.
That's true.
And he wants peace in the home and you are the one that creates peace.
So true.
And reading that one, I was like, that is so true.
Come on, women, listen up, listen
that
up, listen
is so
up.
So true. And yeah, I, you know, someone asked this in a mom's group I'm a part of. They were more talking about how to handle toddlers who are stuck to one parent. And I thought about Kalina because he is stuck to you like glue. And I was just responding to them from this perspective of how to give support to set a thermostat, basically. And I was just saying, oh, sometimes you just have to be a buffer between your kids and the house and everything else for your spouse. And
I
do want to encourage women out there. This is one that I probably would encourage them about, like recognizing that you are the thermostat in the house. It's true. And it's not a matter of roles again of like, oh, you're the lady. So your domain is the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're saying you can't be anywhere else, but just that you do affect the atmosphere in your home. And to take that very seriously. Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, here is one tool that can help you resolve conflict in your marriage. It's an acronym called REST, R-E-S-T. The R stands for review the problem.
Mm-hmm.
E, evaluate your options. And S, solve the problem. T, track your progress.
Oh, that
so for the R, and I'm sharing this from Family Minute with Mark Mirrell.
Right.
Shout out to Family Minute. So the R stands for review. Clearly identify and state the problem.
Yeah, the problem, he won't wake up to pick up the baby.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
E, evaluate options.
Options
list
are...
three options to resolve the problem and use the drive-through method. There's a drive-through method that we'll kind of post the link to.
So yeah, options are I wake him every time and I nag him to get the baby, move the baby to my side, or
oh my gosh,
I just get up and get the baby.
So true.
And work through my resentment issues.
solve the problem. Choose one of the three options to put into action. Emphasis on action, guys. Be open to compromise, especially if this is a big issue to your spouse.
Right. So, solve the problem is move the baby to my side of the bed, do all the wake-ups, and then he gets up and take the baby early in the morning, and I get to sleep in. Compromise, solve the problem, baby's fed, mommy sleeps.
All right. And last but not least, T, track your progress. Set a time to review the problem, ideally 3 days to 2 weeks after you have decided on a solution. Well, it takes time to practice it.
Okay.
Individually, rate where you are as a couple on the scale. So you have a scale from 1 to 5. 1 is the worst. 3 kind of like same, and 5 is better. If the problem is not resolved, then discuss other options by working through the acronym REST again. This is kind of a cool tool.
It's cool. I think the part about track progress isn't that realistic, because I feel like if the thing isn't solved, mm-hmm. nobody's waiting 3 days to 2 weeks to say, like, hey, we need a new solution.
Well, it depends on the thing. You have to practice it. I'm assuming whatever the challenge is a habit, and habits don't just change in a day.
Okay. But I'm sure that in those probably like 2 days leading up to the third day and the weeks, it's just like murmuring, complaining, and nagging in the whole process. Honey.
It depends on the situation.
You know, a really important part about managing expectations that we haven't said is dealing with the issue of resentment. Unmet and unspoken expectations does come resentment.
So true.
So, yeah, resentment is a really big issue that comes up with unmet and unspoken expectations. And individuals or couples need to remember that your emotions are your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for Teiko's emotions. He's not responsible for mine. If there is resentment in my heart or in his heart, mm-hmm. it's his responsibility to start to work through that, to communicate with me. And I need to communicate with him expectations that I probably have that I haven't spoken about or they aren't being met.
So true.
So that I can deal with that issue of resentment. Because if resentment stays there, it's just going to eat at everything in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take these things lightly, because, yeah, you don't want that small silent killer to be there. And then one day you wake up and you're just like, I don't want to do this.
That's right, guys. And that's it for today.
Oh, yeah. Staying in love while raising kids, guys.
Don't forget, if you want to join the We Are the Baileys team, send us a message. We've got some open spots for people in the area of
social media intern.
Come on. All right, guys. Well, goodbye for now.
Bye, guys. See you next week. Not see you, but talk to you next week.